Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It is I, the icon, the leader of the F4L, here to welcome you to the F4L headquarters. And today is TGF4L weekend kickoff. And all honesty, like I keep saying over and over again, if you want to kick off the weekend right, then you come on to this show. Because we're going to break down the things you want to check out. We're going to talk about the things you want to hear about, maybe, and all kinds of other fun stuff. Getting you in a great mood, getting ready to party it up for the weekend, because that is what the weekend's for. To recover from a hellacious week and to kick back the shoes and whatnot. But the other way, I want to acknowledge those people who once, like myself, I was one of these people who used to work the weekends and used to dread when someone like myself would come on and talk about the weekend coming and so forth, when in all actuality, that was when I was the busiest. So here we are. This is for the working man and everybody else, ladies and gentlemen, and you welcome to the headquarters. Like I said, I am yours truly, Icon Sean Jaws Stevens. Hopefully you guys had a great time, and it's been a little while since we've been back. We came back on Tuesday for Talking Tuesday. We'll be back again this coming Tuesday for Talking Tuesday and going forward and so forth. We're going to have a very special week next week. We're going to have a special edition for Mother's Day. We're going to talk about moms and tell some fun mom stories. Maybe tell some mom jokes. I don't know. We'll see. Just because, you know, we're throwing back. We want to honor the moms. Now, granted, you know, I don't think anybody uses, you know, mom jokes or anything like that anymore. But you know what? We're honoring mothers for all of the dedications and sacrifices they make endlessly. As I said before, I don't have my mom anymore, but doesn't mean that I don't every once in a while think of her and honor her memory and telling my kids and everybody else of her legacy that she's left behind for many years to come. All right. So let's kick things off. All right. So it's Friday. You know, first what I want to do is I want to talk to you guys about a few, where would it begin here? To talk about wrestling, I mean, I am from the wrestling world, so I guess we can kick off a few different things I've been noticing and hearing about the wrestling world and the wrestling business and so forth. And fair warning, and also just to be honest, I'm still not really currently religiously watching wrestling on the TV. In fact, I'm not watching wrestling on television. My wife loves it, and she refuses to give up, which I give her a lot of the credit for that. As I said before, I can't do it because I feel it's disrespectful to the people who I have respect for in the business. So until they fix themselves, I'm not going to watch. Anywho, I wanted to share this with you guys. I think this is kind of interesting. You know, I came from a family that there's only a few of us in the family that actually enjoyed pro wrestling. I had two uncles on different in different spectrums. I had my mother's twin brother, who was probably notoriously one of the most famously associated for, you know, tuning me into wrestling, bringing me to my first live wrestling show at the Garden and so forth. But my other uncle also used to bring me to other shows and also would watch wrestling from the southern regions and actually introduced me to the old territory days. In all honesty, you know, it's funny how when we're kids, we see things or we watch things. We don't have as much appreciation for it then than we do when we get older. When I was a kid, I used to pretty much run the television in the house because that was kind of what I did. That was something I always had a gift for, knowing what was good in television. And same thing goes for films and so forth. They usually generally had a good idea what people would like. So my mother, my stepfather, my brothers, my sisters would usually, you know, enjoy anything I would put on. Now, to be honest and to be fair, back in the day, it was not that far ago. We're talking the 80s and 90s. As I was a kid growing up, we used to, you know, watch, you know, the usual stuff kids would watch Monday through Friday. Maybe it was, you know, Super Mario Brothers Super Show or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever, what have you. But one of the things that, you know, and I used to spend weekends at my aunt and uncle's house, one of them being the uncle who, that I mentioned, was heavy into the territorials, the Southern style of wrestling. In fact, he called wrestling wrestling back then. He was the first one who I heard utilize it, called it wrestling, where my uncle would call it wrestling and so forth and whatnot. And they had different ways of looking at things. My uncle, who was, you know, the older uncle, we'll call one uncle the older uncle, he was older. He came from the older background. But, you know, my other uncle, my mother's twin, he was pretty good with the current 80s, kind of 70s stuff. I remember my aunt's husband, the other aunt, the older uncle, he would say, you know, who was tough as far as a legit tough guy versus, you know, who these pretend fluffy guys were. Versus my uncle thought the other uncle would just laugh at all the ridiculousness that he would see. And that was kind of the difference. But as I was a kid growing up, Monday through Thursday, I would watch the television at my own home. And we'd watch, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever the weekly shows were. It was, like I said, whether it be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or He-Man, Masters of the Universe, G.I. Joe, you know, Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Now, here's the thing about the Super Mario Brothers Super Show as well as other things. Seeing how I spent my weekends at my other uncle's house and my aunt's house, really, I would have to leave my home at home. I didn't run the television at my aunt and uncle's house. My aunt and uncle would control that television. I lost those, you know, I knew where my place was there. But again, it's because of their involvement in exposing me to those types of shows that I have a very vast knowledge of classic television that I wouldn't had otherwise. Most kids who are 8 or 9 years old or people my age probably never heard of, you know, the Dobie Gillis show or the Donna Reed show, Make Room for Daddy, Laugh-In, Dick Van Dyke show, Mary Tyler Moore. And these, and the list goes on and on. Get Smart, Dragnet, you know, F Troop. These are shows, Green Acres. These are all shows that I had a pretty vast knowledge of for a kid, a very young kid, who, you know, usually those shows were already considered to be classics, outdated by modern times in the early '80s and the late early '90s. So when I would, you know, leave my regular home where I ran the television, go to their house, I would have to sit there and whatever my uncle put on was what we watched. But, you know, that's not necessarily, or my aunt at night. But in all honesty, that wasn't such a terrible thing because, in all honesty, my uncle would put on the, you know, the wrestling that I normally wouldn't get to see. I believe it was Global that we watched in NWA. I remember watching Skandar Akbar and the Eric Embry and the feud they had and seeing Percy Pringle for the first time. And this is my exposure to, you know, the territorial kind of a thing. And then, of course, you know, I remember a lot of that stuff, and I'm really happy that I have that knowledge now. Looking back, that I remember watching those shows, and I remember the characters that they had back then. And then, you know, all these other special things. And the reason why I bring this up now is because, you know, years later, now granted, right now, the product right now, I'm not happy with, granted, but my son, who's getting older now, he's 18, he's starting to develop a, you know, he's always, him and my daughter like to watch the matches, of course, but my son's been getting into really picking up on the statistics of wrestling as far as the wins, losses, you know, little, you know, statistics of wrestling, which my son is huge into mathematical types of things anyway. So that's kind of his forte. Me, I just can tell you who wins, who loses, and whatever. And also, as you know, my wrestling background, and I've been in the wrestling business for 20 plus years. But my son, who's 18, is starting to really come into his vast knowledge. So tonight, I was sharing with him some of the podcasts from some of the people whom I listen to. you know, less than guys who have been around the business a lot longer than me, like Bruce Pritchett and Jim Cornette. Now, to be honest with you, they're different ends of the spectrum. And I think they have a mutual kind of respect for each other, even though on at times it seems like they don't. But I like them for different reasons. I like Bruce Pritchett because the way he tells stories and the fact that we share the same disdain for us, you know, wrestling journalists, a specific one in general. And I have a lot of respect for Jim Cornette because he speaks his mind. And I also feel bad that Jim Cornette, who's been around the business as long as he has, who's grown in the business and done so much for the business, watched the business turn into what it is now. And I feel bad for when he has to be exposed to that. And I got to tell you, though, if it's not for him watching these shows, I wouldn't know what was going on, because that's actually how I get all my answers of what's going on. And I would listen to his, you know, description of what goes on more than actually watching it myself or listening to anyone else, because it's blunt, it's to the point, and that's kind of something you need. None of this fluff and utter stuff, you know. I just want to hear the facts. What happened? Was it good or bad or whatever? And, you know, he does a good job breaking things down. So, you know, it's kind of cool to share, you know, these podcasts and listen to the enthusiasm my son has about wanting to learn more about the history of wrestling. And that's kind of what I was getting at, where if it wasn't for my other uncle, you know, exposing me to those things on the weekends where I wouldn't run the television. And, as a kid, I wasn't happy because, you know, the Ninja Turtles would have a, you know, to be continued episode. And I wouldn't get to see the conclusion because, you know, we were watching wrestling. And at the time, I was always, you know, a little jarred by that. Now, looking back, I'm grateful for it. That's kind of what I was getting at. It's always good to know where you come from or where you came from in anything, whether it be film, movie, television, or whatever. I think it's important to have the respect you have for the people who have been there before you as much as the business as it was before you got involved, and why did you get involved and things like that. I think it's important to learn about these things, and there you have it. All right, so that is kind of that deal. In fact, I just had to pick my son, bring him home after he worked all day. We were listening to Bruce Pritchett tonight, and he was saying he wants to listen to Jim Cornette and his comments about WrestleMania, because I told him that they kind of share the same vision. So it's interesting that my son and Jim Cornette, even though they're very much different in age and knowledge in the business, have the same kind of general consensus for the same thing. That's interesting to me. By the way, I concur with all three of them. With both of them, by the way. So there you go. Anyway, moving forward, you know, it's nice to pass the torch and, you know, listening to my son getting excited about those things and whatnot. So there you have it. So that's wrestling talk, I guess, for now. You know, A&E, just a little further thing here. A&E has been doing these documentaries on various different superstars, which is kind of cool. It's kind of nice to have these documentations of the old classic things that we all grew up with. But what I want to tell people is this is something that's not new. There have been documentaries out there before. Back in the 90s, when everyone was watching wrestling, late 90s, and I mean everyone was watching wrestling. Anyone who tells you they weren't watching wrestling or didn't know what was going on were lying, because if you looked at the amount of people who were crotch chopping or two-sweeting each other, you knew that people were watching and where these different things came from and the impact that wrestling had back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when everyone was watching, of course, during the Monday Night War decade, or era, I should say. And, you know, it's sad we don't have that much anymore. But in the same sense, you know, it's, you know, back then there was several different, you know, documentaries back then, and there's still documentaries out there now, and they keep on coming out with more and more. So this is something that's not new. I'm hoping by all of these new kind of Usually also I want to say, maybe this is a little glimmer of hope for myself, maybe, that every time they do these, other shows outside of pro wrestling, kind of, emphasize and promote pro wrestling or talk about pro wrestling, sometimes I feel that's usually a sign that, pro wrestling is going to have a surge again. I hope so. I hope so, because right now I'm not happy with the product, and people who are also wrestling, people who grew up in wrestling like I have are sick of it. I've been in the pro wrestling business, and it's just, I can't, get involved with it. It's sad. So there's that. So that's my kind of rant on pro wrestling. I just want to, add one little thing here also. WrestleMania, they had live crowd there. They had people there. And since WrestleMania, I'm understanding they have not had any live people there. And I want to sit there and put a question mark. What the heck's the point? Why is it okay for WrestleMania, not any other time? It's the same building, to my knowledge, not too far away from it. It's the same size. It's outdoor venue where they have the Thunderdome. There is no good reason they can't have live people there if they were having people for WrestleMania. Just keep those safety guidelines in place and you shouldn't have an issue. AEW has a live crowd. Granted, they pay a lot of them to sit there and watch it, and it's a lot of the wrestlers and so forth. But to my understanding, AEW has actually had live people there. They usually sell the families of in the pods or whatever. So everyone's safely distanced or whatever. So my question is why WWE hasn't done this yet? And why WrestleMania, or since WrestleMania, we haven't seen any live people there again? What's the sense of welcoming everyone back at WrestleMania just to not keep the doors open? I don't know. I just find that strange. But whatever. We're in the era. What are you going to do? So there you have that. All right. Where are we at now? Let's move past the wrestling, move it on, because we get a little bit more cheery things. Some movies are coming up. There's some movies that I've seen recently. I wanted to give a couple point opinions on. Now, the other day I gave you about a couple quick reviews. I talked about Mortal Kombat. I talked about King Kong versus Godzilla. I want to talk to you guys today about a couple other ones that I have watched. One of them being the Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League. And let's talk about that one first. Admittedly, I didn't see the original Justice League cut, whoever did that one, because I'm not going to lie to you guys. I think, and this is just my personal feeling, and truth be told, I'm a comic book geek at heart, and I am a comic book geek. I love comics. I love superheroes, and I don't like when when they make films about these certain characters and they change things so abruptly that it just destroys what it was. The other thing I don't like is when, a company or whatever the case may be kind of tells me who the hero should be and who I should like versus who isn't. It puts importance over one character over another. So that being said, I've never really been interested in the Justice League movie because they always, whenever there's a Justice League type of talk, it's always the same kind of group of people. And I'm going to get a lot of heat for this, I know. But, and I've said it time and time again, I am not a fan of Batman. I'm not a fan of Superman. And I know people's minds are going like, how can you say you don't like Superman or Batman? Well, I'll tell you why. They're unoriginal and they're stale. But like, Let's just leave it that with that comment right there, because Batman actually explained it for me in the Zack Snyder's cut of the Batman, in the Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League. So let's look at Justice League. And you also got to remember, I come from a film background. I like films as well. And if casting doesn't work for me in a film, it kind of ruins the whole thing as well. And that's kind of also what this kind of does. So there's certain elements that work for me and there's certain elements that do not. All right, so let's start with the good things first, because there's some good things. I did watch the Zack Snyder's cut of the Justice League. I did not see the other one. I don't know if it was better, worse, or whatever the case may be. I do know it was long. It was extremely long, and I know people who took a break. My wife and I trudged through the whole thing, one sitting, because I feel like if you're already invested this long, you might as well just finish it. That's my feeling. And it's a movie, and I've never walked out in the middle of a movie ever in my life, and I'm not going to. Even if it's a crappy movie, I'm still going to sit there and endure it because I did that to myself. I made that choice. That's how I feel about that. Now, that being said, let's talk about Zack Snyder's thing. So Zack Snyder, first of all, works in the comic books industry, works for DC. So a lot of people are under the understanding or had the, you know, thought that, you know, he would do a lot of respect to the Justice League. But here's the thing for me, personally. I don't know why they got this collection of the Justice League together. Of course, you need the Holy Trinity to get the Justice League to work. You need the Batman, the Superman, and the Wonder Woman. Everything else you could fine-tune here and there. But I have to say, there are much better – there's a lot of other Justice League people I would have rather see than this crew. And I don't remember ever – I can't judge whatever the other Justice League movie is since I didn't see that version. I'm going by the Snyder's cut. And I already said it was long. But casting, I wasn't fond – it was about 50-50 on casting. I never liked Ben Affleck in any superhero movie. He cemented that with this one here, too. But the only saving grace, and by the way, this is spoiler alert all over the place, but this has been out for a little while, so hopefully you've seen it already by now. Now, that being said, now that I'm giving you the spoiler alert warning, there's a dialogue that Batman says. Someone asked him what his superpower was. I believe it was the Flash. And Batman says, oh, I'm rich. And that to me was funny because that's kind of the ongoing joke that all the people who don't like Batman says, that Batman's superpower is he's super rich. And that's kind of what it is, folks. He can afford get the fun toys and electronics and all these things. And that's kind of where Batman comes. And he is, and Batman is, you know, what happens when you suffer from a severe trauma. This is what PTSD is, by the way, where he witnessed his parents get shot. But instead of, you know, doing something else, he decides to lash out against criminals, to whatever. And supposedly Batman has a code not to kill people, although Batman actually gets very close to doing so, and it's okay to paralyze them, hurt them, maim them, but killing them, just don't do that. Superman is also another one of those characters who, whatever, but I can't really talk much about what I didn't see in the other Justice League movie. I'm going by this one. So first of all, Superman doesn't even come into this film until about three-quarters of the way into this. Well, not even that. Probably the second act, I'd say, Superman comes into this thing. Not even the second act. It was something, let me tell you. it was very, in his introduction, was bizarre. I didn't see how any of that took place. I'm guessing that in Superman versus Batman, apparently he died. I guess Doomsday killed him, apparently. By the way, that's a good reason why I'll never watch Batman versus Superman, because, again, I am a wrestling enthusiast, especially since that is one of my favorite comic books ever, is The Death of Superman. Because of the fact and how awesome it was and the respect I have for what Doomsday did and the fact that no one knew anything about Doomsday. And that was kind of the magic of what made The Death of Superman so mind-blowing, that someone could just have a beast, a monster that could keep going. Didn't have anything super-powered necessarily, super strong, and it hit him and got even harder and tougher. And then on top of that, before Superman got into the picture, he wiped out half of the Justice League already by himself. And then Superman came down and he crushed him too. Of course, Superman took him down too. But in this movie, of course, Superman comes in later on, and at first there's a standoff. And I don't get this whole season. I don't know why he was flipping out like he was. This is not doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me, because there has never been an instance where Superman should be confused where the hell he is. If he died while on planet Earth helping people, he should definitely have the last memory of when he was alive, regardless if he's an alien or not. Anywho, I didn't like this. I didn't like this Superman, you know, introduction here. I thought there was too much, you know, build up for all we need Superman. But in all actuality, it's not really about Superman. It's about everyone working together to take on the threat is what it was really about. Now, again, I can only go by what I saw. And the young man who played Barry Allen, a.k.a. The Flash, I thought he did a good job. I liked him. He is very likable. He's young, sarcastic, which is much like The Flash. But I have to tell you, The Flash isn't as sarcastic as, let's say, Green Lantern. Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, is probably one of the most sarcastic and charismatic members of the Justice League, but he's not even in this film. But we get Flash, who's got parts of that. And we have Cyborg, who is also part of this. And, you know, he's given a huge backstory in this movie. He's shown a lot how he developed into the character. And, you know, this whole family drama that breaks out throughout the entire movie, that plays out the entire movie. And that's great. I'm glad they took the time to, you know, give the background to the character. My issue is he was never part of the Justice League. He was part of the Teen Titans, and I will never accept him in the Justice League. I mean, when is he part of this? And why is this character over some other characters? You're telling me you couldn't get someone to play Hawkman or someone to stand in for the Green Lantern, someone to stand in for Hawk Girl? Robin was also part of the Justice League. Where's he? No, and there's so many others that don't even show up. We did get to see Martian Manhunter. That was exciting. Martian Manhunter is probably the most powerful person in the Justice League, but he never gets any praise because everyone puts so much emphasis on all these other people. Martian Manhunter is probably one of the laid-back guys, but no one gets any press. And they showed him twice. And the second time was during a very, very overly extended end scene. It didn't have to happen. A lot of build-up. People made reference to, you know, Jared Leto playing the Joker, which to me is a waste because it was seen in the dream sequence. Yeah. You know what? I'm going by the Justice League Zack Snyder's cut again, and I didn't see the other one. Granted, I didn't see Superman versus Batman either for the same reasons. I'm just not interested in either one. I don't care who wins. Because I knew it was going to be like anything else. They're going to somehow team up. And sure enough, who would anyone know who won the pony, as the great Jim Cornette would say. So, needless to say, I was not happy. I thought the Zack Snyder was all right. I thought it was, you know, classic DC. I'm just not interested in the DC. I'm not interested in the characters they're showing me in the Justice League. I do have quite a few people in the Justice League, or in DC, I do enjoy. I would be all about seeing a Swamp Thing movie, and I would be all over a Hawkman, Hawkgirl, a Martian Manhunter standalone movie, maybe take another crack at the Green Lantern. And then, of course, you got Shazam. Shazam was okay. It's tolerable. But then, let's slow down a second because I'm going to end my kind of rant on or my review on the Zack Snyder's cut. I'm going to give it a 2.5 stars, by the way, if that's the thing. I don't really give ratings. I think it was okay. I don't think it was as hype-worthy as it got. Again, I'm not happy with who they portrayed thus far. But again, I'm different, and I'm not just a Marvel guy. I want to point that out. I love all comics equally. It's just I'm not fond of these characters jammed down my throat. I want to see more, and I don't want to see the same thing over and over again. You don't need to have 700 people to play a character. Find one, move it on. If the character can't fit, then move on with the character. Maybe it's not the casting. Maybe it's the character itself that you're having issues with. I'm talking about Batman and Superman. You don't need so many people to play a character. If you can't find one person who can't portray the character the way you want it done, the way it should be, then it's time to move on. Put the character away. Try someone else that does work. Because it's ridiculous to have 7, 8, 10 adaptations of the same character over and over and over again. Same thing can be said about Spider-Man in Marvel. Because I think Spider-Man's exact same as, in the same category as Batman and Superman, where in Marvel he is super hyped up, and I just don't see it. He's a kid who's got bit by a spider, and you know, if you know the comics versus the movies, it's, you know, it's different. It's just it's nothing special either. He's a guy who got bit by a spider, and he can crawl up a wall. But what you don't know is that's about all that he inherited. It was just the spider sense. As far as, you know, the spider web and everything else that makes Spider-Man, the swinging of the webs and stuff and all the athleticism, that comes into play when, you know, he created those types of devices to get that to happen. It wasn't like he can actually shoot spider webs. Anyway, that's my rant on, an accidental rant on Spider-Man. So there you go. Let's move past the DC in the Justice League. Wonder Woman, of course, my wife's all-time favorite. She was in this movie, of course, again. This is right after seeing Wonder Woman 84. I think I already reviewed that one. I hope I did. Anyway, even if I didn't, go see it if you, you know, come up with your own decision. I just feel like for something to have a year attached to it, I expect to see a lot more of those references in the movie. And to me, it wasn't enough references to 1884 to warrant having that as a title. Sorry. But anywho, moving forward. But I want to talk to you guys about a trailer for something that came up. I saw a trailer today, actually yesterday, for the upcoming Sweet Tooth movie. And I'm just curious, how many people are familiar with the character Sweet Tooth from DC? So I'm watching this trailer because I, you know, every so often I have to watch trailers to see what's coming out so I can stay relevant for one thing, but also so I can stay, you know, to be in the know of what's going on in the world of entertainment and to see what's out there for me to watch for you guys to give you reviews. What can I tolerate? And I came across a trailer for Sweet Tooth, which is coming out on Netflix. Let me tell you about this movie right quick, because I have some interesting thoughts, and I'm also kind of intrigued on the same points. So, I'm Googling this right now as I'm talking to you guys. So, Sweet Tooth is actually not DC. He's Vertigo. Anyway, sorry. Well, Vertigo, I guess, is owned by DC, but anyway. All right, so let me, all right, I want to tell you about Sweet Tooth first. Let me tell you about the character Sweet Tooth before I tell you about this movie, okay? Let me do that. Hold on, Sweet Tooth. Okay, so let me just, I want to just read off this description of who Sweet Tooth is. Hold on. Okay. So Sweet Tooth is a limited series written by Canadian Jeff Lemire, published in DC Comics and Vertigo imprint. Dubbed by a Mad Max meets Bambi. Sort of. So I'm reading this. So basically what this is, I'm just going to tell you about the character. So Gus, first of all, is the name of Sweet Tooth. That's his real name. He's a 9-year-old who happens to have antlers like a reindeer, and he appears to be half deer, half human. And this is who the character becomes Sweet Tooth. But here's some interesting stuff here. Oh, boy. Anyway, I'm just going to say what I know about Sweet Tooth. Sweet Tooth is not necessarily a kid's really character. And that's kind of my take on that. And but as I say this, there's also been very many characters named Sweet Tooth. There was a Sweet Tooth who was featured in the short TV, movie trilogy series Trick or Treat Tales of Halloween. Maybe you're familiar with that. Tales of Halloween, there's a Sweet Tooth that pops up there. It's about a clown who apparently goes around eating people who don't offer him candy. There's also Sweet Tooth from the video game, for those who know Twisted Metal. Sweet Tooth is that evil clown, again, who is a destructive force. And then, of course, you get Sweet Tooth, who's from the comic book world, who's also kind of a twist from a clown and a vengeful thing. And now we have another thing who's Sweet Tooth. And this Sweet Tooth is a kind of a Bambi meets a person, I guess. I'm just curious how you can character, this is just something I have questions, how you have so many characters with the same name, so many entities and so many properties with the same title that can you can get away with calling these the same thing. Like there's a difference between Sweet Tooth, the comic book character in the video, there's a difference between Sweet Tooth in the video game, Twisted Metal, right? He's a big clown, evil-looking thing. He makes Pennywise look like Bozo, right? And then you have this adaptation of Sweet Tooth. If you watch this video, this trailer, he looks like just a regular old kid who just happens to be part, you know, person, half human, half kid, and so forth. Now, this is going to be shown on Netflix, so you guys know. There's that. So we're in the era where comic books are just running rampant. And I feel like people are just putting out comic books at this point and putting out movies with comic books and television shows with comic books just because it's a cash grab. It's something to do. It's, something to work with. So apparently, I'm just going to tell you who the casting is for this. This is kind of smart in a way. In a way, it's also confusing. So they have Will Forte playing Gus. They have, can't pronounce half these things, but they got Kristen Ken, sorry if I'm mispronouncing this poor young man's name, but younger version of Gus is played by Christian Converve. I hope I pronounced that wrong. Right. Sorry if I didn't. But he plays for the record, this movie, from what it looks like, is going to be mostly this version of Sweet Tooth, Gus, and then he's going to turn into Will Forte. Or maybe it's going to be Gus, this kid playing Gus, and then Will Forte will be the voiceover. I'm going to guess that's probably what we're looking at. And then we have, Nonso on Z, Danny Ramirez, Adil Akatar, James Brolin. Hey, James Brolin's in it. That's a pretty big name for them. To be honest, the only people I've actually heard of in this film are Will Forte, James Brolin, and
Well, for Teddy James Brolin, that's about it. I'm sorry. If I've you know, seen your work at other places, that's cool. But you know what? I'm hoping it's going to be good just because, you know, it has hope. I guess kids need superheroes too. Now, our family and I watched the, you know, We Could Be Superheroes movie. I've talked about that before. I reviewed that movie before. I think that's kind of what started this craze on YouTube and showed that, you know, not on YouTube, on Netflix, that, you know, superheroes are definitely still popular for people. And they're definitely part of the pop culture society. So I can understand them wanting to put out more of these superhero type shows. I just would like to have more substance and more, I wanted to stay close to the subject matter. Sweet Tooth, the graphic novel or the comic book character, is a rated M for mature comic book. I know, comic books have a rating, go figure. Much like movies and, you know, comic and music. Everything's censored now, but, you know, comics also have a rating system. It's rated M for mature is Sweet Tooth, but in this trailer, they're, you know, putting it out there like it's a kid's film. That's confusing to me. That's like if Marvel was to come out with a Deadpool movie or Deadpool TV series and make it a kid's movie. That wouldn't work because Deadpool, as you guys know, is, you know, Deadpool. And the reason why he's so, you know, mouthy and he's so popular is because of how ironic and how blunt and crazy he is. But that's just me. But you know what? I have no problem with it. I think Netflix knows what they're doing. I think Netflix knows, you know, what works for people. I think they do a good job with this. But I do think that instead of creating all this other new stuff, they should work with what they have already and build on that more. For example, the We Can Be Heroes, that's the super heroics. That's, you know, the movie with the gentleman from Wonder Woman 84, as well as a bunch of other people. Very talented young men and women in that movie as well. We Could Be Heroes. It's basically a follow-up to Sharkboy and Lava Girl, continuation of that storyline. But what happens when they get older and, you know, their kids take over, kind of a thing. I don't have a problem with that. I thought it was, me and my family watched it. We thought it was a great idea. It was a great premise. It was very kind of edgy. It was kind of honest for what it would be. The kids acted like actual kids instead of these, you know, not so much, you know. Because I think one of the issues people have with, you know, when the kids kind of take over roles, certain things is they have this notion the kids kind of, you know, play down that kids are like this. When in reality, I can tell you that kids aren't as innocent as they seem as far as, you know, whatever. We know that as people, right? When we were kids, we know what year we started swearing, and we know what we did when we were young. And that's kind of the idea of how when I cast a film, especially a coming-of-age film, you know, you look at, for me, when I'm watching a coming-of-age film or any other thing, when I'm casting someone, I want to see the real person inside of the character. And if I don't buy that person's that character, then it takes me completely out of the project altogether. Now, what that means is you can have, you know, a kid in a role that just doesn't work for me. Maybe the kid acts, you know, maybe all these horrendous things that happen around him and this kid's, you know, skipping around singing zippity-doo-dah. But that's not really based in reality. And I would like, no, I don't buy this. This isn't how he would act. Where if this kid was, you know, having a rough time, but yet, you know, someone says something and he maybe flips them off or he's, you know, yells something or he says something under his breath. This is what most kids do. This is how teenagers act. It's not a myth. It's not a made up thing. It is kind of how it is, right? All right, cool. So, that's a tip, by the way, to those people who are casting right now and to those people who are auditioning for roles, various roles out there. If you ever want to get a role in the film, I actually gave a little bit of advice to someone recently. Whenever you want a role, my suggestion is to learn as much about the character you're portraying as possible. And then kind of like in pro wrestling, when you have the person, the gimmick you have, you become that person. When you leave the house, you're in character. When you're in the business, you're in the character. When you come home, you're in the character. When you go to bed, you're you. And that's kind of how I believe you should go and approach an audition. You should be well-educated into the role that you're looking for, and you should have an understanding of the character, where he's going to, what the ideas, what is the kind of, what's the kind of, motive, right? So that's what I would say.
Okay.
Be you, and also do your research on whatever the character is you're going to be portraying. Because most likely, if you're like me, I get emails all the time about all of the up-and-coming, you know, opportunities out there for acting and whatever. And if there's a role that you know is coming up, you put the work in, you learn about the person as much as possible. Now, this is something different. Now, I wanted to point this out. Something I want to add to this. I didn't get to say the other day. Now, let's say it's a character that has been perceived before. Like a portrayal has been done before. Let's say it's Harry Potter, for example. I'm not saying they're making a Harry Potter. I'm just taking an example. Now, Daniel Radcliffe, for the most part, will always be viewed as the Harry Potter, right? And that's understandable because he's portrayed the character for so long. But now, if we were to take a remake of Harry Potter and recast that role, and you were going to be Harry Potter, one, I would say, instead of worrying about how Daniel Radcliffe portrayed the character, I would say don't watch the movies, read the books. And then when you are reading the books, take in how the character is means to you. And then you put your own spin on how Harry Potter is. Forget about Daniel Radcliffe, and now you become Harry Potter. You want to be Harry Potter, you become Harry Potter. And then, you know, you read the book, you read all the books, and you have a knowledge, right? Let's say, well, they're only going to do their first film over, right? Well, no, you read all of the books in one shot. So that way you're covered. You know where Harry Potter is currently. You know where he's going to go in the future. You forget about the movies. That's the important thing. You got to block that all out. Okay. That goes for any role that you're looking for. Currently, for example, I know that they're currently looking for a new Percy Jackson, for example. Percy Jackson's another thing. Logan Learman, I believe, was Percy Jackson. I think he did a pretty decent job at Percy Jackson. But apparently they need a new Percy Jackson. They're going to do another one. And that's cool, and I wish everyone the best. But for this type of role, I would forget about anything that Logan Learman did prior. I would go out and get the books, Percy Jackson, and all of those, and learn about the character that way. Then how does this character affect you? And then what happens is you become that character. Find the human element into that character that you're reading about as you're reading him going through these events. And then that is when you go into the audition for that character. That's my tip to people auditioning for different roles, especially that one that is coming up. I always find that is the best way to get into a role and to get a character is just to have that mindset and have as much knowledge about that person, more knowledge than anyone else would. Because the more prepared you are, the better you will be. And be prepared for anything out that might not come into play. I always, treat everyone really well, and I always ask, pretty much we do the auditions when I audition people, but then I might ask someone random, like, can you sing, for example? Without even having any reason. I didn't advertise in the audition call out, hey, singing might be happening, but if I know that you're willing to do, you could do more than, just this might give me another idea, but it also gives me an idea of your range. What else can you do? And in case down the road I want to change a scene or add a scene because I want to emphasize one of the talents you have, if I don't know that you can do that, I can't add that. You see how that works? And I want to, implore people that when you go into an audition, you go into it like anything else, 110%, give that one extra thing that the person outside other than you isn't going to be doing. Because here's the sad part. This is the reality that any actor can tell you. The amount of people who audition for these roles, the competition's a real thing for different roles, especially a high-profile character you're trying to get the part of. And when you're involved in those types of things, you can easily get focused, you can get discouraged and stuff like that, but it's important to do the best you can and go before. I would always say that someone who is more informed about the character, who also shows me their human elements, are they human? Are they fun? Can I see them in this role? I already know when they walk in the door how they perceive, how they talk, and how they carry themselves if this is going to work. And I'm going to add this too. And I know this is going to probably not make a lot of people happy, but I have to say, I believe full-heartedly kids need their parents to be supportive. And I believe parents need to be supportive for their kids to be in this type of environment. However, supportive and controlling is different. I'm going to explain to you what I mean. We all hear these horror stories about these stage parents. This has been a thing since the beginning of Hollywood. There's a lot of horror stories attached to these things, a lot of documentation and everything else under the sun about this very subject. And quite frankly, there's so many things that surrounds that I myself would probably feel weary about my kids going into film and acting, whatever else, because it's a very interesting business. It's a dangerous business. It's not built for everybody. I'm going to tell you a few things. Let me tell you a few things that I look for. These are some things that I know that, you know, would come out for me. If I'm auditioning for a part, there are a couple things that I look for in everyone. And if you can't meet the very first thing, then I am already moved on. One thing is punctuality. I am always on time for everything. I'm also accused of being overly punctual. If you're someone who wants something bad enough, show up early. I'm not saying that's always possible, but show up early, be dedicated to, you know, full through, right? And then the other thing I look for is the human element. How is this person relatable? How does this person read and so forth? As far as, you know, how do they, I first start talking to the people to get a feeling for who they are. What have they done before? What have they liked in the past? What have they not liked in the past? What have they done kind of work? Can they sing is a question I'll ask sometimes at the end. And then we'll go through the audition for the scene that I maybe have them, you know, I may have them read off a part of the scene or work with me or one of the other people. But here's the thing. When you get parents there, and by the way, I always encourage parents to be part of all of these things, and I highly recommend to all parents to be present with whenever your kids are getting auditioned or dealing with someone in Hollywood or anything else. I encourage you to be present when that happens, but there's a difference between present and then being overbearing or trying to get control or trying to become involved, because your job as the parent is to sit there and be the parent of the kid, not to, well, do it this way, you know, Johnny or, you know, Cindy or whatever else. Your job is to keep your kids safe and make sure your kid's happy. That's your job as a parent, not, you know, to, you know, coach the kid and they were doing things. That's the director's job. That's the person who's running the auditions job, the casting director. That's what their job's doing. But I heartily encourage parents to be there. Just don't try to become part of the production, if you know what I mean. Okay? There you go. And excuse me one second. I also encourage not only the parents, but the kids to ask questions. I always find it important when kids have questions, you know, in place for the character or the role or something involving that, rather than the parents who have all these questions if the kids don't have any. Because that means that the parents have been obviously doing the research on this and the kids maybe not interested as much as they seem it, because that's what it says to me, if the parent's the one that has all these ideas and has all these questions, and the kids, yet the kid's the one who's auditioning for the youth role, then that shows me that the parents are more interested in the character than the kid is. I'm just telling you how I look at it. And I'm not saying that's always the case. Just that's how I perceive that. And the same thing, like I said, I heartily encourage you guys to be present whenever your kid is with another adult or a two of other adults. I highly recommend that you're there. Just be there. Don't become involved. Be in the background. That's what I suggest. Take it or leave it. Now, that's some serious tips right there for people who want to get in the filmmaking business. And as you know, I worked in the filmmaking business. I've made some very successful independent films. I'm very proud of them. But I've also worked with people who are new to filmmaking. I've also worked with people who tried stealing my own work and tried hijacking my projects. These are the things you learn in the business. It's a cutthroat business, ladies and gentlemen. It's not made for everybody. Acting is not made for everyone. Everyone thinks that they want to be famous until they are. And that's kind of the real deal, you know? Everyone says, oh, I want to be, you know, I wish I had that money. I wish I had all this stuff. But do you really? Because, you know, there's a lot of not so good things that come along with those kinds of perks that no one talks about. You know, I think for one thing, a lot of people who are successful get is a lot of paranoia. Are people really interested in me, or is it the money that I have, or is it how popular I am? Do people have to like me, or is it the character or the money that I have that gets me to where I am? And that's a very interesting and destructive way to look at things. You should obviously know who your friends are, who your friends are not. This goes into the F4L thing. Real friends don't kick you down. They help you up. And when it comes to the film industry or in the entertainment business, everyone says, oh, you know, you're so lucky you get to do this, that, and the other thing. But they don't think of what else goes on with that, right? Like, for example, let's take, you know, any of the top kid performers right now. Actually, I got a better example. A lot of people don't like Finn Wolfhard as far as because he's outspoken. He's been, you know, he's talked about how there are super crazy fans, the ones who are very, very inappropriate, who, you know, burst down those boundaries in filmmaking. This poor kid is on the set most of the time, barely gets to go to school, doesn't really get in a lot of free time. But when he gets free time, he doesn't get free time because of how popular he is, because how he's thrown all over the place, he doesn't get time to himself. And he's thrusted into a world where he's on the public eye. So now, Finn Wolfhard, if he jaywalks in one of those towns that doesn't allow jaywalking or strictly enforces it, well, now the media is going to take a hold of that and people are going to judge him for that. And people like to hate on things like that. You can't do that. It's not right. But this kid, a lot of people got really hard on Finn Wolfhard because he asked people not to go into his house because this is something that happened. You guys don't think it's a problem that you followed a teenager to his house? That's not creepy at all. I got to tell you, I got two kids, and I also worked in the filmmaking business. I'm also a wrestler. We have our share. I've had my share of interesting fans, let me tell you. There are the fans who always try the wrestler because, you know, I'm a wrestler. I don't know what I'm doing. But they forget to do the background check on me because they forget that before I was a pro wrestler, I was also a combat sports specialist. I was a competitive combat sports enthusiast, actually, when I was a youth. From 4 all the way up until I was about 18, I competed in freestyle tournaments, which you guys know now today as MMA. Where it was no cage. It was just, you know, people who were cross-trained in multiple forms competing against other people who were cross-trained or whatever, and the best man wins. That's kind of what we pioneered. Me, as a kid, pioneered that in. So I have some fighting ability too, but there's always those fans who get rowdy and they want to try the wrestle. They want to see how tough he really is. And then you make them humble and then, you know, their friends laugh at them and you go along your way. That's how that works. But I don't understand how fans, it's acceptable, it's safe, it's not creepy. I don't understand how you can get bent out of shape because a young man has to tell you to chill out, that he needs boundaries. This is sad. You should evaluate yourself as a person instead of hating on someone who's working, trying to give you, you know, some entertainment. And it's not like this kid doesn't meet and greet with fans all the time. He does do a lot of meet and greets all over the place. I've seen him on multiple conventions and meet and greets and everything else. I've seen it happen. There is a time and a place for everything. You want to go say hi to Finn Wolfhard or anybody like him, you go to one of those things, you're respectful about it, and you move on. You want to cry? That's fine. Cry in front of them. Tell them everything that they mean to you. That's fine. That's your time. Right there. That's your spot. That's what you do. Not at their house, not in the bathroom, not when they're eating dinner, not when they're in their friend's house, not any of those times. There's always a time and a place. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people who have been approached in bathrooms and everything else. I mean, really, the bathroom? Think about that. Everyone wants to be famous. Do you want people taking pictures of you in your bathroom? When you go to the bathroom, you go to Chili's, you go to the mall, or whatever the case may be, you use a public restroom, someone takes a picture of you because you've been in the TV series or whatever the case may be. You probably gather kind of an attitude as well. And you know what? I stand with them. I stand with all those young men and women because I think it's sad that people can't respect them. Boundaries. I know it'll probably make a lot of fans angry by telling you that, but I'm telling you from the point of view that it's okay to show them praise. It's okay to show them, you know, say thank you, but it's another thing to control, to kind of throw yourselves in this way. When you start following these people to their house, you've already gone too far. You're no longer just a fan. Now you're crazed, if you know what I mean. Okay, thank you. So please respect celebrities' privacy, but also give them their space. Give them time to breathe. If they're with their family, let them be with their family. There's a time and a place for everything. Thank you. Now, I talked about movies, and I guess I talked a little bit about television where I talked about you know, Sweet Tooth coming on Netflix. I talked about the Conners the other day, The Good Doctor with Freddie Highmore, who I got to tell you, over the years, I've seen Freddie Highmore grow. He is a fantastic talent. Freddie Highmore, I said way back when, was going to be a brilliant kid, and here we are years later. He has not fizzed out. He's always stayed relevant. He's very careful what roles he takes, and whatever roles he takes, he puts himself in there, and really, really great stuff. I really have a lot of respect for Freddie Highmore, who currently is in The Good Doctor, by the way, in case you didn't know. But, of course, our good friend Michael Fishman on The Conners. Apparently, they're not getting a lot of good reviews or ratings or whatever. Give it time. You know, I'm sure, you know, people will catch on eventually, I hope. Okay, also, okay, I'm going to give you another review. I can't go into a lot of detail because I only watched one episode, but this goes to tell you how I operate. Let me tell you how my TV, how TV works for me, how I get involved with a show and how invested I am in it. I watched the first episode of any episode. It was usually the pilot, they call it, that does it, the pilot. So I watched that. If I like the show, I'll probably watch another episode to see I also watch the other episode if maybe I'm not 100% sure. I'll watch one other episode, the next episode. Does this hook me? Do the characters make sense? Do Do I like how this is going? Do I like the direction? Do I like the format? Do I like, is there redeeming things here? I know that within one episode, all honesty. But if I'm not 100% sure, but I have, I mean, there's certain things I like and things I don't like, then I'll give it another chance the second episode. And sometimes I've been known to, you know, binge watch certain shows like Cobra Kai. However, I saw a show recently. It's called Home Economics. It's a new show. It's on, I think it's ABC or CBS, one of those channels. I saw previews for it, of course, and I'm like, all right, another family sitcom. I'm a sucker for, like, family sitcoms. I'll be the first to admit. I'm a big fan of things like The Wonder Years or The Conners, for example, Marriage Children, things of that nature. Well, this show, or even shows like The Wonder Years. Wonder Years technically would fall under that category. It was a little dry at times, but it had its comedic elements. Step-by-step. Or, you know, family ties, things of that nature. Kind of on the cusp of family drama, but comedy, kind of a dramedy, I guess they label it as today. But watching this show, I figured, you know what, these trailers look interesting. It has a pretty decent cast. Topher Grace is in this show. Haven't seen Topher Grace in a lot of things lately. I said, all right, well, let's see how this goes. And I watched an episode. And that was all I needed to see. I was not impressed by anything. There was nothing different in here that I haven't seen before. It was not original. I'm not, you know, going to go hard on it. I don't want to go heavily into the, you know, details. I won't spoil it for you, but I will tell you I wasn't fond of it. I won't be watching another episode. I'm not going to return because, for me, like I said, the storyline is just stuff I've already seen. Nothing is original, like I said. Topher Grace, minuscule character here. I don't really like any of the supporting cast and how they're portrayed. I don't really like Topher Grace's character. And if this is the character we're supposed to really like, then you know, it's already a lost cause, right? You can't not like the main character of a show and expect the show to survive or to be good, right? I hope. That's me. But unfortunately, it was going to do it for me. So I don't know what's going to be next on the TV show horizon. Walking Dead is coming to an end next year, as I said. There are some other fine shows out there, so I'm not like, oh, no, there's never be anything you can watch ever again. I know there will be something. You know, I got to say, all these comic book movies, they're way too much of them. You know, it's cool. And this is coming from someone who loves comic book movies, and loves comics, loves movies. But there's sometimes some things that just don't need to go together all of the time. You can't have so many things together because it looks just it looks like a cash grab. Looks like a, you know, you're trying to, you know, jump on the bandwagon, so to speak. So, you know, Avengers, Endgame, you know, Justice League, and then, you know, here comes seven other superhero TV shows, basically about the same ideas, same principles, just superheroes. And it loses. It kind of falls flat a little bit for me. I want something new, original. I want something we haven't seen before. That's kind of what I'm looking for. I want to see a show that, you know, blows me away. Maybe it's controversial. Maybe it's a bad end. Maybe it's tough. Maybe it's funny. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't found it yet. There are shows that I had potential, and they left them. They didn't make it, apparently. Apparently, I'm a different kind of a character. And I always worry when certain people are added to a cast or when I see someone who is cast in a role because I know it's not going to be a long-winded show. Poor Jason Briggs is one of those poor people. Jason Briggs, I saw he was going to be on a show. Jason Briggs, of course, from the American Pie series, movies series. I saw he was going to be on a sitcom on Fox. You know, some of the show, I did watch some of those. They were kind of comical, but I said, you know what, this isn't going to last just because this, I don't know what it is about, I don't know. I guess no one liked it enough to not bring it back. So I think it had like 3 or 4 episodes and they canned it. At some point, that's what happens. And then I think he had a game show, I think I heard. That just gone too, I think. I don't know. I haven't heard much of the game show since I heard everything else fall to pieces. Poor Jack Gore is another one. Jack Gore, I think he's a young man actor. He's a young actor, by the way. Jack Gore has a lot of potential as a young man, a young talent. He was on the Michael J. Fox show, probably one of the most comedic timed persons on that theme show. And Michael J. Fox is a legend anyway. I watched the Michael J. Fox show, had a lot of hype, a lot of a lot of respect for Michael J. Fox, what he's done for Hollywood and film and television, and also what he does as a human. And his show, I didn't mind, and then they canned that. And I said, oh, this poor. And Jack Gore was on this show. He played Michael J. Fox's son. And then there was The Kids Are All Right was Jack Gore was in that as well. I had a lot of hype. I thought that was very funny. It was kind of like, the Wonder Years kind of a feel meets, the Goldbergs, where they kind of, have the flashbacks to the 50s. And I get in on that stuff. I enjoy those shows, but apparently I'm the only one because that also got canceled. And then poor Mimi Driver. I think is it Mimi Driver? Hold on. Let me just make sure I get it right. Because I don't want to say the wrong name of the actress and then have her get angry at me. Not that she'll ever hear the thing I have to say. Because it's not really about her, because I think she's a fantastic actress. Okay, 1 second, folks. I just want to make sure I get it right. This poor woman, she is a fantastic actress. I've seen her for years. Yeah, I was right. Mimi Driver. Why do I doubt myself? Mimi Driver, every time she's on a TV show, for some reason, it never works. And I love Mimi Driver. She was great in Circle of Friends. She brings a lot to the table. She was just in a show called Speechless. And it was such an entertaining show. My son got into it. It was this great show. One of her kids is in a wheelchair, but it doesn't let him slow him down from anything else. She's the mother who's this charismatic, over-the-top, protective, fight everyone's to the death mother. I thought that was great. Kayla Kennedy was in it. I know her from The Walking Dead. She was a very comedically funny girl in this role. She was tough and funny and edgy. I like that. And she was also realistic as a teenager today. That I really liked. Mason Cook was in that show as a main role. Usually Mason Cook is usually the background character some places. He was given the main kind of stage here. And then you got, several other different people. But those are the main kind of characters there. But Mimi Driver, she was also in About a Boy. Neither one of them lasted. They both had a lot of potential. I like them both. Great cast. Benjamin Stockman, I don't know what happened to him, but I haven't seen him since after that show ended. But that kid had a lot of talent, too. It was naturally funny. It was hysterical, actually, I might say. So, anywho, that's what I had to say about, It's sad when you see people you have a lot of, respect for in Hollywood and film, and you don't see, them live up to that expectation or what you see. And I hope, maybe part of the reasons why I do what I do. This is also part of the reason why I believe in the next year or so, I'm going to be probably going back to filmmaking And I'm going to be hunting these people down, people like this, to show people this is how you get this person talent. This is how you, you know, work together. And this is how it should be. I've said time and time again, I say that there's always the potential, there's always something there for someone. And there's always the role that is just waiting for the person to blossom into. And, you know, truth be told, I wrote a film one time. It was actually my second film that I worked on. It was my film. And as I was working on the film, I had auditions for the main role, the main character. It was a coming-of-age film. But so many other people who auditioned did such a great job during the auditions that I decided I was going to add a scene here and there to, you know, utilize their talents, and I could see stuff for them. And you can always find talent and see the potential somewhere. And it's sad that, you know, sometimes a lot of people don't, you know, offer that. They don't, you know, it's, you know, take that or leave it. And also, on the same thing, that has to do with the actor sometimes, too. Sometimes they don't want that. Sometimes it's not, if it's not the role that they were going for, then they don't want to take it. And that's completely up to them. I can tell you this. Anytime anyone's ever worked with us, whether it be in the camera as a main character or a supporting character or a background character, anytime I have a set, everyone's happy, everyone's fun, it's laid back, everyone's done, you know, treated with respect, everyone has fun being there, and it's also productive. We get everything done, everyone's professional. There's never any issues. And I want to say, I kind of miss being on the set, and I miss being kind of putting projects together. But one of the things I miss the most is, you know, this is kind of a thing that I guess you'd have to be in the filmmaking business to understand. Like, when you write a character's, you know, write into a character, into a role, and then you see that character through the actor who's portraying that, the person you choose to be the actor portraying the person in which you wrote. And then you see all of that on the screen that you kind of particularly, you know, shot and how you had the person work into it. There is a feeling of absolute pride, I guess you'd say, that together we did this. And I think that's the way you should always look at the film. We do this together. I write it, I direct it, I do this, that, and the other thing, but we together make this film. It's not a single person shot. You know, if you have a cast and you have a cast, it should be evenly split. It's not one person more important than the other. It takes an entire crew to put a movie together. And a lot of the time, the only people who get the praise is usually the lead in the role. And I feel that everyone should be important and everyone should be celebrated for their accomplishments within that film. Now, I'm not saying that's the same thing for sports. I know this is a quick little segue here, but, you know, as far as movie-wise goes, I think everyone deserves the credit for working on the film together. If a film is successful, like we see in, we just saw the Oscars, for example, and those films were not one or two people put together. There was a crew of people who put those films that won together, and those things should be celebrated together, not this one or that one, so forth. That's something I have an issue with, but that's just me. But as far as sports goes, I think you should earn everything you get. And also, if you don't earn it, that means you need to learn to yourself put the work into fixing whatever it is that didn't allow you to particularly the winning on this occasion. Boy, this episode is almost painful for me to do right now. I want to let people know I'm not tired right now, but I have a lot of things. I felt like it's been so long since I've done this show that there's a lot of knowledge I have and a lot of beliefs and a lot of things I had been dying to share with you guys. And unfortunately, I'm tripping over myself to give it all to you. Sorry about that. It goes to show you we're a one-trick pony and we're live and in your face and we're raw. So there you go. about a half hour left.
Might even end up closed up early so you guys can enjoy the weekend for yourselves. But just to kind of go over a few things, I wanted to talk about the wrestling show I'm doing right now on YouTube and give you guys some updates for those people who watch. We have an amazing roster of men and women. We call our men the Dream Masters. We call our women the Women Warriors of Wrestling. They're both part of what I now call the Jazz and his F4L icons of the F4L. That's the name of our show, Jazz and his icons of the F4L. And then we have the usual format. We have three shows a month. We have one coming up on the 4th, and then the 14th, and the 24th is the last one. We just had an amazing show just recently, and man, was it a great show. We had a great time, and this is another thing that brings me pride when I see people who, you know, see their matches or they see, you know, what their characters that I built of them do on our show, and when they get involved and they get excited. I had a woman recently who we just added to our roster not long ago. She's already won a championship, and she was telling me how she's literally yelling at her character on the screen to get up, encouraging her to keep going for the win. And almost nonchalantly, I'm trying to play it off like Mr. Cool Guy, and I'm like, oh, you know, you're a wrestling fan. Congratulations. That's what wrestling fans do. Good job. You know what it's like now. But in the same sense, there's that element of pride. I'm so happy that she is so happy with that, and she's getting so involved with her character and so into this world that she's able to get some spark or reaction out of that. That's amazing to me. I've had several of our young athletes post their matches on their pages as an accomplishment. That brings me pride because that means that they have so much pride in bringing those things and they have so much enjoyment out of that, and it means so much to them that they want to share it with the world. And I respect that, and I love them all for that. A lot of times over the last year, I've heard people say how 2020 has been a horrible year and da-da-da-da and all these nasty things about 2020. 2020 allowed me to slow down and get to meet some of the most amazing people. I have been blessed to have met some of the most amazing young athletes, young, old, of all races, from all over the world, learning about these various colors and also cultures, and also sharing the element of having things in common. A lot of the things that they're doing are things that I have either done or I am interested in doing or things I have such respect for. I always try to encourage all these young men and women and whoever it may be to keep going and go after everything they want to do. Because like myself, they too can do whatever they want to do. I was not given a lot of options. I wasn't given a lot of choices, and I wasn't given any opportunities. Everything I've had, I've earned on my own. I put the work in to get it, and, you know, that was what I had. And sometimes in life, you just need that one word of confidence. You have that one person who believes in you. Sometimes that's what you need to achieve your goal. And if by me encouraging someone and giving them a pearl of wisdom or a wealth of knowledge or encouragement is going to help them in some way, then you better believe I'm going to do that, because that's what my job is to get the next generation ready to be the new Dream Masters. That's what our role is as parents, as adults, is to get the next generation in to kind of help promote and help be the amazing people that they are. And judging by the amount of amazing people I have right now, I've seen over the last year, I know that the world's going to be in a greater place. We have some of the toughest fighters you'll ever see as far as combat sports goes. Young, old,
you mark my words, UFC, you've been on notice. I can think of some people right now that could probably take half of your roster right now. I've actually seen them take some of them, to be honest with you. I've seen, you know, the ups and downs of everything. I think it's amazing how people can be, can think one way about someone and think, oh, automatically, for example, on our show, I'm trying to put this in ways so you can understand it, because it's an amazing feeling for me. I know what I'm looking at. So when you see a person who looks bigger than a person in a ring for our show, and you're like, well, that person is going to get destroyed because that big, that person is so much bigger than the younger, the smaller person. But then yet that smaller person utilizes speed and agility and all these things to cut that big tree down. What a feeling that is. What an inspiration that is to other people to keep going. It doesn't matter how big you are. It matters about what your heart is and what you want to get out of it. And that's what the main thing is you got to remember. That goes to your goals. That's what you need to have to get your goals done. So there's that. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to try to do this without having to not forget about anybody. I always seem to, you know, think of someone at the last minute. So I want to do some shout outs to some F4Ls out there. Most of the people who are on my roster, but other people also outside of the roster. And also want to get their names out there, because these are people who I believe you guys should be, you know, you should go check out, and you should, you know, definitely give praise to and invest your time in, because these are the people who are going to be your future. These are the people who are going to mold, who are going to change the world. And I can't wait. So let me give you some people who I would like to personally give them shout outs. Now, I'm not saying they're going to hear this, and I'm not saying they're going to, you know, whatever. I'm not even doing it for that. I just want to make sure you guys hear the names of the people who I believe are fantastic people who you guys should check out for many different reasons. One, of course, is my good friend Michael Fishman. I know you guys know him from, you know, Roseanne as DJ or whatever else. He's so much more than that. What an amazing human, and I'm blessed to have him part of the F4L. Leo the Bull Curtis, young MMA and rugby star of the UK. He's our MMA Grand Prix champion, and I think his heart shows it in the matches that he has, the intensity he has. Terrific young man. Yesenia Verkovits, number 13, a Russian football star. This kid will post his matches on his page, and he has such pride. He's a footballer, aka soccer, and seeing how I played soccer many, many, many times in my young life, and I was on the soccer team for many, for almost, well, it was my entire high school years, and I led my home high school into victory many times as well. Terrific young man, very respectful, great family, out of Russia. And there's so many more. Like, I don't even know where to begin. Of course, Tony Fitness, another United Kingdom future bodybuilder. JoJo the bodybuilder, of course. What a fantastic young man he is. He's hardworking, dedicated. He's got, you know, he's trying to organize other young people to, you know, go into the combat, kind of competitive world of bodybuilding. I personally could never do that. I am very well, I'll be the first to admit I'm very self-conscious as far as that goes. See, it's funny how wrestling, I can go in front of a wrestling crowd and, you know, wear my singlet or whatever the case may be. But when it comes to that, not so much. But it is what it is. I also want to give some other shout-outs to the OK Thank You Boys. I haven't heard from them in a long while. Mike, Tristan, Robin of OK Thank You. You guys all know who you guys are. Much love to you guys. I hope you guys are doing well. I saw Mike got vaccinated. Welcome to the club. I did that this week. You know, keep it going. Hope Tristan and Robin are doing well, too. Austin and Gabe of the Father-Son Fist Bump. Hope you guys are doing well over there in Salt Lake, holding down the fort, so to speak. I haven't heard from you guys in a while. Hope you guys are doing great. I know I'm running for past president or whatever. I mean, he was our champion for a while. If he can be a champion defeating the likes of, you know, I don't know, the Hulk and so forth, and there's no reason why he can't be a president of a class. And this, oh my goodness, where do we go? I have been Dolphin Shark, my son, Chef Awesome, Summer Payne, my daughter, Daria, my wife. I mean, where does the list stop? We have some, the Duchess Lana King. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and on about the amazing people. Of course, Jack and Tim, the lucky ones. Oh my goodness, there's so many people we have. And I'm proud of everyone. I'm glad that everyone is doing well, and I'm glad that everyone's keep going after all their dreams and their dedication. You know, it's a little discouraging when I can tell that, you know, not everyone's feeling it. And I get it. It's not for everyone. But, you know, but for everyone who's disappointed or everyone else who, you know, doesn't really like, you know, the encouragement and stuff like that, you know, I get that. Sometimes it's hard to take praise or whatever. I get that, man. We're all human, right? Minty, I got to give my friend from Australia a shout-out as well. He's our champion currently. He's a great guy over there in Australia. Someday when he comes over here, I'll show him how to show a convention. I'll show him a few things, too. All the amazing dancers that I have, you know, blessed to watch and, you know, put me to shame. My wife says that, you know, I can't tell you what my wife usually compares my dancing to, but then again, she's never actually seen me actually dance because it was the last time I got to dance. But anywho, just there's so many people to go through and thank, you know, and Johnny Ice, he's our friend from Canada. Terrific young man. He's going through a lot. He's, you know, has some stuff going on. Super Carlson, you guys know you are there. Oh, my goodness, I can go on and on. Just, you know, Lisa Gabriel, Scott, you know, just, all right, just everyone who is my friend. I love that. You know, I love everyone. I hope you guys all know that I respect you guys and that you guys are all, you know, living up to the dreams and doing your own things. And anyone who, you know, tries to keep you from doing whatever it is that you want to do, kindly remind them to sit down and watch as you show them why you're going to take whatever it is you're going to do. I come to a point in my life that one of the biggest influences in my life, or one of the biggest motivators, was people's doubt in me. People would say, well, you can't do that, or you won't do that, and that just made me work harder to make me rub that in their face, that I was going to not only win whatever that is, or do whatever it was I was going to do, but I was also going to achieve whatever the goal was at any means necessary, because I was going to prove them wrong. For example, my stepfamily, not the nicest people in the world anyway, used to tell me I was never going to graduate high school. I wasn't going to make it through high school. It was going to be another dropout, and I wasn't going to go to anything in high school. I was not going to be smart enough. I wouldn't be able to handle it. Well, from the minute they said that, when I was in sixth, and that was the last day of my sixth grade class, I think. I just graduated from sixth grade. However, with their words of wisdom, from seventh grade to 12th grade, I still have the record for back-to-back either, I was either on the honor roll or high honor roll every single semester. And a lot of people who knew me in elementary school would hear about me older, and if they were to see me at high school level rather than what they knew of me, they wouldn't even recognize me, because I had a new motivation. I was not only going to graduate, I was going to graduate with honors, and you damn well better believe I did. Graduated 14th in class, ladies and gentlemen, because I wasn't going to be told where I was going to end. You know, this is how we do things. I've not had the easiest life in the world, and I've not taken any easy routes. admittedly, I've you know, gone through quite a bit. I've seen a lot of sad things in my life. I've had a lot of tragedy in my life. But I don't live in the past. I live in the now, and I go for the future. That's what it's about for me. I don't look past what happened in the past because that's not going to get you anywhere. You learn from the mistakes. You learn from your past, and you apply it to the better future. That's how you do that. If you get thrown off the horse, you get back on the horse. If it throws you off again, you get back on again. And you get on that horse as many times as that horse knows that it's not going to break you. That's what you do. And that's how you do all that. I know I sound like Rocky Balboa, one of his speeches, but that's how I operate. That's how I look at things. You know, and I believe that if I'm able to achieve the things that I have achieved, then anyone else can too. There's no reason why you can't. A lot of people I have seen have a lot of great, and you know, people who back them up and people who support them. I didn't have a lot of that. Remember when I graduated high school, I was homeless. I was in a homeless shelter when I was in high school. And I also started wrestling school 6 months before I started wrestling. I started wrestling school 6 months before graduating high school. And then when I was injured in 2003, I entered college and earned not one but two college degrees while I was injured. Then I came back to wrestling and became the icon that I am today. So for anyone who ever tells you that you won't be able to do something or you can't do something or whatever doubts you, you put the work in and you make them see how bad they were wrong. And you want to know what I did for the people who told me that I wasn't going to graduate high school? I gave them an invitation to my high school graduation that none of them accepted because I won. And that meant more to me. The F4L were there. My real F4L were there. But that was about it. So, folks, this has been a longer show. And it's Friday, like I said. So I want you guys to go have some fun and enjoy yourselves. If you're a family, go have some family time. Play a game together. You know, it's not going to kill you to play a game of cards. If you have kids or whatever, it's not going to take too long. Play some cards, play a board game. We're a family who loves games in general. It keeps the family healthy. It shows the kids that you can still have fun. And, you know, in all honesty, as a parent, your two goals is to keep the kids safe, keep them healthy, and keep them happy. That's the third thing. Sometimes by keeping them safe, you're going to do things that are going to make them upset. They're not going to be always happy with you. But that's what you do as a parent. You have to make those tough choices. Sometimes you got to make the choices where you kind of, you know, have to put one of those three things on hold, like the, you know, fun part of things, right? You know, the safety reasons you might not want your kid to go with so-and-so. So you're preventing them from having fun, but in the same sense, you're doing it because you want to keep them safe and happy, safe and protected. That's what your job is as a parent. So that was my little parenting rant right quick. And again, Mother's Day is next week. Again, to all those mothers out there, I want to wish you guys a happy early Mother's Day. I do plan on having some type of mother type of event on this podcast. It could be on one of the other days. It could be on Tuesday. I don't know yet. But it'll be prior to Mother's Day, as we have plans that we'll talk about on the following Tuesday. So let me just tell you guys what I got planned on my agenda this weekend, and then, you know, we'll close things out. So this weekend here, I'm going to be, so tomorrow we're doing the family things. We're going to do the family chores, like the cleaning of the, you know, cleaning of the house and doing the laundry and all that fun stuff. Sunday, my team and I, my new bowling team, we're going out bowling. And we're going to see my brother, who's going to install my car radio. Got the, you know, Lobo, which is the name of my car. For those people didn't hear. Lobo, my car, is going to get a new radio put in. My brother's going to do that for him. So shout out to my brother if he ever hears this. And thank him for doing that. And we're going to go bowling also. It's been a long time since, you know, we're going to get the kinks out as a team. But also, my brother's going to join us with his family. So it should be a family outing and whatnot. And then on Monday is our bowling night, and it actually starts the real bowling league this week. There's no bowling for averages. We're actually bowling against another team. And, you know, I'm proud of my team. I know we're going to be great. I'm going to be there to encourage them all. I'm going to help them as much as I can. And my goal is to do my part to keep everyone grounded and to keep not grounded in the sense of what most parents say when they say grounded to their kids. But my goal is to keep my team focused, but also keep them loose and encourage them to have fun and be one. It's a team sport. You might have a rough night, but that's why you have three other teammates that are going to help be there to back up and pick up the slack when you fall down. That's how a team's done. That's how captaining is done, and that's how you run a team successfully. But we got that on Monday, and I'll have all that reviewed. I'll tell you all about everything else that happened this weekend on Talking Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, in which, you know, we'll probably have a guest on. And also on the 4th, remember, the 4th of May will be our first show of May. We have a great show lined up. You really need to check this out. We have a lot of debuts. We have some returns. We got title matches galore. It's going to be a great show on May 4th. That's on my YouTube channel at Wow Dream Matches, or, you know, Jazz and Sons Dream Matches on YouTube. You can go check out the matches there. If you need to email me, you can find me at at Wow Dream Matches. That's WOWDREAMMATCHES at gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at, how do I always forget my Instagram stuff? Probably because it's not like everything else. Okay, Instagram. Instagram is. Instagram is F4L. That's F, lowercase, 4 is in the letter, L is in Larry, lowercase, SEANJAZZSTW. That is on Instagram, or it is Sean, SEAN, Jazz, JAZZ, Stevens, STEVENS, at Twitter. And that's about it, folks. I'm not on I'm not on Facebook or anything like that, so you're not going to find me there. of course, again, if you need to send me an email at any time, if you want to come on the show or you have any ideas or whatever, feel free to reach out by email. It is WOWDREAMMATCHES, WildDreamMatches at gmail.com. Again, I am your host, the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, and I'm saying, everyone, we've kicked off this week in the best way we can. I've given you some insight. I'm giving you some things to look forward to, some movies to check out, maybe some movies to stay away from, and encourage you to keep going and have fun. You know, and live your dream, people. Live your dream. All right, everyone. May all your dreams come true. I am your host, the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, saying, may all your dreams come true. Peace.